Thank you. You may be seated. For hallelujah, Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. 3 days before Jesus was laid in the tomb, a man crucified on the cross, that Roman instrument of torture, between two common criminals with the sign that read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, in Latin, the language of the Romans, in Greek, the language of the scholars and the gospel writer, and Hebrew, the language of the people. Wanted to be sure that that message was clear to what happened to people who would rise up against the emperor. And then here we are 3 days later today. And don't you just love Jesus? Because of all people to first see him up from the grave arisen just happened to be not one of the 12, not the beloved disciple, not the rock that the church was going to be built upon, but instead it was Mary Magdalene, one of the followers of Jesus, but not one of the 12 that we label the disciples. And I don't know, it seems like I'd rather be one of the followers than one of the disciples, because they seem to be kind of wishy-washy when it came to being around Jesus at this time. And one of the best lines that I had seen floating around about this event, about Mary there at the empty tomb, about this event that centered on the resurrection and the empowerment of those who were followers of Jesus but not labeled as disciples, is the fact that Mary Magdalene became the apostle to the apostles. And that simple definition of apostle is any important early Christian teacher. But what she had to share, what she had to teach the disciples, was the fact that Christ was indeed risen. That she had seen with her own eyes and that she had heard with her own ears her very name called out. Now that prophecy is almost fulfilled. Christ, of course, talks about the ascension that has yet to happen, but for now, the resurrected Christ's appearance and presence will be made known to the followers of Jesus and to the disciples in several instances that we'll hear about in the next couple weeks. She saw and she believed. But for us today, with our faith, we often have to believe without seeing. Without seeing with our own physical eyes the resurrected Christ in the flesh, we have to trust that we can, though, see Christ in this world, in others, and in us. We have to believe that we can see Christ. We have to know that Christ is in this world, and in others, and in each of us. But it can be difficult. It can be a struggle, especially given our current state of affairs in the world, in our country, and maybe even in our own community. But right now, I want to tell you a little story about seeing is believing from my own personal experience. How many of y'all know where Roscoe, New York is? Yeah, y'all know it because of the diner, don't you? All right. Fly fishing, that's what that place is known for. It's got the two-headed trout, you know, the fish, it got confused, didn't know which part of the river it wanted to swim up, whether the Willowemuck or the Beaver killed, so it grew two heads as it tried to swim up both of the creeks at once. And when we moved up there, we spent all total 6 years up in the mountains, and when I say Roscoe is where our home used to be, the first thing that people usually say is, oh, you used to fly fish then, huh? Not really my cup of tea. And after moving up there, everyone was like, oh, you have to learn how to fly fish. I said, I don't want to stand in 40-degree water up to my waist trying to fish. That's what a boat's for. I prefer warm water fishing. Bass, catfish, brim, bluegill. But all those years we were up in the Catskills between Hobart and Roscoe, I never saw the first person catch a trout fly fishing. I believe they can, but I've never seen it with my own eyes. I've never seen a single person catch a fish out of either one of those rivers or the mighty Delaware up in Hobart that you could jump across at certain points. But you know, I guess I could say I know they have caught them before. I'm trivializing the seeing is believing because we're so reliant on our eyes for knowledge and truth that something that sounds far-fetched may be just that unless we see it with our own eyes. But when we can walk with our faith intact without having to see it to believe it, wow, our hearts and minds, they're truly going to be open and fulfilled and filled by God. But you know, a lot of us may be at a stage where we think we believe, but we're unsure. There's those moments that shake us to our core. Just like old Peter did when he denied Christ those three times that we heard about a couple nights ago. He was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple. He knew that Christ was the Messiah, but he struggled with what to think about the events that were happening that evening as well as rolling over onto Easter morning. It's difficult to process that kind of news. We're a very spatial people. We like to see math written down on the paper. We want to see how you got to your answer. But what happens next in the scripture reading, it really helps bring the events into focus. Those two angels, they were seated where Jesus was placed. And they said to her, "Why are you weeping?" And she responded, "They've taken away my Lord, my God, and I don't know where they put him." She just professed that Christ is Lord there. And then that figure appeared. Y'all remember, she didn't recognize who it was. I can see it now. It's the sun's coming up. All you see is a shadowy face, obscured identity, until he calls her by name. And then her eyes are opened and she truly sees that it's the Lord. Jesus even said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch not a single one of them out of my hand." That's what Jesus said earlier in chapter 10 in the parable of the Good Shepherd. And we know this, when shepherds, when they would get together and all the sheep would intermingle with one another, when the shepherd called out the sheep that belonged to that shepherd, what did they do? They went up to their shepherd because they knew that shepherd meant safety and security. That shepherd loved them. That shepherd cared for them. And here we have Jesus calling out and one of his followers hearing and answering, calling him teacher, showing the relationship that she had with him as a follower of Christ. And now today we have the accounts in all four Gospels of the empty tomb, each of them with Mary Magdalene there. And just as the people saw there, the women and then later the two disciples that came running to see, we see the empty tomb. But this is where our faith got one of its greatest hurdles. You know, the Spirit of God's presence is among us. It may not be something we can visibly see or touch with our hands or literally hear, but in our minds, in our thoughts, and in our reasoning, it is. And when we call out to one another, when we call out to one another in the name of God, that's when we're calling out to another sheep. Someone that we're supposed to look after and care for. Because Christ set that ultimate example through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That we've been judged and found redeemable by God and saved through those salvific acts of Jesus on the cross. Y'all ever tried to call out your kid's name when they're not listening? I remember Halloween last year, Veronica dressed up like, what's her name? Elsa. Because there were no other Elsas out there running around in that neighborhood. And she took off down the road and I raised my voice, "Veronica, Veronica, Veronica." She stopped and she turned around. It wasn't Veronica. Then I had to go find the kid's parents and apologize that I just yelled at their kid. But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they're not going to perish. No one's going to snatch them out of my hands. Our faith is in the Good Shepherd and in the resurrection of our Lord for the forgiveness of sins. So let's give thanks to God that we are brought home into that great heavenly flock, that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah, and thanks be to God. Amen.